I've had this song on my mind, haven't done it, but it's all this talk about genocide, you know, gets me excited. And,
you like that topic, AJ?
It's a damn good topic, you know. It's a rich topic. There's a lot to be said about it, and there's so many different ones going on around the world to sing about. So, this is a song I wrote a year before last September. See him praying, watch the army marching in. As they clubbed old women, did you see the general grin? Watch the stones fly and the snipers taking aim. On Shatila's birthday, it's a calculated game. And they're gunning down the children of Jerusalem. Did you hear him screaming, see the horror in his face? As he hid for cover in a tiny unprotected space. Did you hear his father pleading, there is a child here. Trying to protect his son who yelled in horror and in fear. That they're gunning down the children of Jerusalem. Did you feel the wind blow from the helicopter blades? Did you smell the tear gas, see the demolition raids? Did you see the rockets and the dum-dum bullets fly? Did you feel the horror to watch one more young boy die as they're gunning down the children of Jerusalem? Did you see the roadblocks letting nobody go past? Watch the blood flow as time is running fast. See someone's brother taking his last breath. So close to the hospital, but closer still to death. And they're gunning down the children of Jerusalem. Did you hear the fat cat say it's not what it appears? It's an armed uprising, a realization of our fears. Do you hear them chanting that this is their homeland? They want what's ours and we've got to make a stand. So we're gunning down the children of Jerusalem. Some want power, and it seems the world's theirs to give. Some just want peace and a decent place to live. Some talk of destiny and what their God has willed. While a mother weeps that her 9-year-old's been killed. And they're gunning down the children of Jerusalem. They're gunning down the children of Jerusalem. They're gunning down the children of Jerusalem. They're gunning down the children of Jerusalem.
Why don't you tell them the story about how you had a tour basically canceled over that song?
Yeah, I thought that was a good story. I had a tour booked, my second tour of Israel, booked by the Israeli Folk Music Society. And then after the Al-Aqsa Intifada was provoked by Sharon, then the Israeli Folk Society canceled the tour, called me a number of things, including fascist, neo-fascist, Nazi, neo-Nazi, and self-loathing Jew. And the latter being my favorite. And then it started out by individual venues all writing the organizer saying, we don't want this Nazi playing in our venue. And it's others saying, we wouldn't mind him playing, but we can't guarantee his safety or anyone's attendance. And then eventually the organizer herself called me a Nazi. And the tour was canceled.
Have you thought about amending your ways?
I thought about it, but, decided against it.
It's a personality flaw, probably.
But actually, I got all kinds of feedback from Jews from around the world and a much larger volume of emails from Palestinians who liked the song, and including, of course, a lot of radicals in Israel, folks from Gush Shalom and Beit Salem and the Coalition Against Housing Demolitions who were all for it.
But, well, you know, if I was not an American and I was doing the songs that I'm doing and I had an American Folklore Society tour booked, they would cancel me over some of the stuff that I do. Folklore societies, folk song societies are by and large, in my experience, very conservative. I mean, they just are, for whatever reason, I'm not sure. My theory is that, and I don't think people think about it in the front part of their brain, but it's kind of like a subcutaneous thought process, that folk music is by definition actually quite radical, and in order to stop its radical thrust, it is owned by these people. You know, I mean, these folklore societies, at least here in America, are very often funded through federal agencies, so on and so on. And if Leadbelly walked in with a scar that went from ear to ear and a rap sheet as long as your arm, you know, they'd call the cops.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they would not allow him in the building.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. I don't know exactly how it happens this way, but it's certainly...
I don't think they think about it, you know, I don't think they sit down in boardrooms and discuss how they're going to own the music. I think it's a paradigm of the culture, and it just happens because that's what the culture demands.
It's imitation to some degree. I mean, all the big record companies are only recording people who write songs about, like, you know, wondrous heterosexual relationships, and anything other than that is not acceptable. And so I think the independent labels, even though they're not part of big corporations often, they imitate that in the hopes of, I don't know what, if it's how conscious it is or not, but they're certainly imitating that. Because certainly when you look at the body of so-called folk music out there, most of it is same subjects of the rock and the country songs. It's just a different musical style.
Or you get the wonderful kind of sensitive music, you know.
Yeah, navel-gazing.